We're now in the session where we're just going to hear some perspectives from different sectors of the community on the whole issue of frameworks, ontologies, etc. And our first speaker is Deborah McGinnis from Stanford.
Thanks, Steve. I'm going to talk a little bit about the semantic web perspective. So you can go to the first slide. So the semantic web, as we heard this morning for anybody who was in the session, is taking off in a big way. We could look at it as viewed through academic and industrial perspectives as representative from the W3C semantic web activity. And those links, if you look, if you click on them on the web, they'll take you to the semantic web activity. Or to Markoff's New York Times article where he introduced Web 3.0. And I took quotes from each of those two pointers. Just to give you kind of a little bit of spectrum of the perspective on the semantic web. So from the activity perspective, the semantic web provides a common framework that allows data to be shared and reused across application, enterprise, and community boundaries. And in the New York Times article, he mentioned Web 3.0's goal is to add a layer of meaning on top of the existing web that would make it less of a catalog and more of a guide, providing the foundation for systems that can reason in a human fashion. So they're consistent in the perspective, but one's a little bit more from the general web perspective and one's a little bit more from the knowledge representation perspective. So I thought in this perspective I would give one slide on what the semantic web might give to this community and then another slide on what the semantic web community might get from this community. So first, that picture, we saw it also today in the forum, that's the latest layer depiction of the semantic web, starting at the bottom with what I usually refer to as the plumbing, how you access things and get to things, going into the middle level, the yellow level up there, into the representation, AL and RDF and RDFS for representing meaning. Sparkle and other query languages for getting, for retrieving things, the emerging RIF, rule interchange format language that's expected to be a recommendation out of W3C, I'm guessing next year, possibly this year if they were really lucky. Moving up to logic and proof, so a proof of why something is true, all enabling you to trust something. So one of the things that people in this forum might be interested in is there's tools and products from the semantic web community at all of these layers. So there's language editors and validators like Protégé and Swoop and many others. There's ontology evolution environments that allow you to load in ontologies and then diagnose them, merge them, make suggestions on how to modify them. There's reasoners that once you have the information represented in something like AL or in KIF or some other formal language will let you do some kind of deductions based on the information you put in. There's emerging explanation, proof, and trust languages and environments that allow you to annotate why you believe something, if you believe something, why you believe it, how you, it came to be, and who you are. And then once you've got it represented that way, to present it in a summarized form or in an interoperable form. There's a lot of markup languages. Every time I turn around, there's another domain-specific markup language. I just gave two examples up there of GeoCyML and chemical markup language, but every community that I drop into has their own markup language. There's search and browsing tools. There's question and answering systems. So there's a lot of things that can jumpstart you from the semantic web world. Then the semantic web community might be very interested in some products that come out of this meeting. In particular, the dimension fragments, as a trained knowledge representation person, of course, what I want to do is represent that stuff and then start to deduce things based on it, analyze it, categorize it. And one of the things that the semantic web world does is analyze out the wazoo. Once we've got something that somebody thinks is important, if you looked at this year's International Semantic Web Conference, you saw people out there crawling for data and looking to see when something was more populated or less populated. I'm really looking forward to this population spreadsheet. So one, we've got a starting point, which actually provides some interesting data by itself, but it's impoverished. That spreadsheet might encourage other people to do markup with the same dimensions. And once I've got that kind of thing, that markup, then I can start to do more powerful applications. So, for example, I own at Stanford a large ontology repository. And I inherited it when I went there. But one of the things that it doesn't have is markup like intended use for the ontology. And so people come to me, who's kind of the owner of it, saying, what have you got in there? And I say, well, just do some search. But if I could search over intended use, it could be a much more powerful tool. Similarly, Swoogle, the semantic web Google version that looks for RDF and OWL descriptions, you could imagine enhancing that, looking for RDF or OWL descriptions over particular intended use ontologies, and it might be a good way of filtering. So I think products from this work group can actually empower some of the semantic web tools. The ontologies as design artifacts, I think that's a very powerful message that certainly I as a semantic web community person can benefit from, but I think everybody here can benefit from it, because if we actually get departments, journals, more trained people to use this, we all benefit in a big way. Okay, next slide. So my quick conclusion is that we as a group are much stronger together than separately. So we might actually modify. We previously had the name of this being ontology, taxonomy, folksonomy, understanding the distinctions. We might say similarity, leverage points, and distinctions, because we might want to emphasize the similarities as well as the distinctions. All of our communities focus at some level on interoperability, reuse, some kind of machine operational meaning capture, smart search, where smart's in quotes because it could be very smart using a whole lot of reasoning, or lightweight, simple expansion, and some kind of question answering. Speaking for the semantic web community, we're a very young field, an evolving field. We're always looking for input. If you need things in the languages that aren't there, we're looking for that. We're looking for tool requirements. And more than anything else, we're looking for use cases as well as testimonials. I think the current web semantic web success stories will just grow if we start to leverage a broader world of ontologies. So if we start to leverage the socially created folksonomies, for example, we'll just have more data to be using. And although I said the semantic web community is young, we're actually in our seventh year of an international conference. So it actually has been around a while, so you can see some success stories. You're seeing spin out from ISWC, the International Semantic Web Conference, to ESWC, the European Semantic Web Conference, the Asian Semantic Web Conference. A lot of little workshops are spinning out. A lot of domain-specific areas are popping up, too. So geoinformatics is in its second year. It uses a lot of semantic web technology. Health and life sciences is probably the most mature. Oil and gas has really grabbed onto the semantic web world as well. So I'm really starting to think that this is kind of perfect timing. So my last point is timing is perfect for us in this room as a broader community. You're seeing informatics departments pop up in a lot of universities. Bioinformatics are in many universities now, but you're starting to see more like geoinformatics starting to pop up. You're starting to see conferences. You're starting to see journals. And so I think it's the right time to really get out there.
Thank you, Deborah. Why don't we take questions?
This is Evan Wallace from NIST. I have two questions. What did you mean by leverage points?
So anything that I can reuse across any of the different areas. So, for example, when I just do knowledge-enhanced search, I don't need complicated, sophisticated ontologies. Like, I'll go over to Tom and say, hey, give me your tags. You know, and also when
I can't afford them.
I can't afford them. Okay. And when I actually am trying to go out and build my sophisticated ontologies, I need starting points for the controlled vocabulary. So and also to not leverage the social collaborative workspaces that we're seeing go wild. So that has been kind of historically the way my narrow academic world has approached life. We said, you know, we spent the last 20 years training ourselves in a particular way. We might know how to conceptualize this better than the rest of the world, but then we have to become experts in every domain, which is crazy. I mean, we're all changing now, I think.
And my second question was, you talked about domain-specific markup languages. Is that what some people call microformats? It seems to me that to a certain extent, that's what motivated some of us at NIST to get involved in things like the semantic web and semantic technologies, is the proliferation of all of these special schemas. As a standards person, you can't really have much impact on that. So what was the alternative for supporting integration? So that's why we went to semantic technologies.
Well, I think that's the right one's perfect motivation for semantic technologies, because literally every time I turn around, another microformat or markup language is popping up. And whenever I go into an area to try to help them with semantic interoperability, I say, what are the starting points? And there's hundreds. So the semantic technologies are a great, it's the best silver bullet that I know of for doing the mapping. And I do include microformats in this notion of markup languages, although they don't call themselves. Actually, where's, oh, there he is.
Thomas, yeah, he can speak to that.
Okay, why don't I yield to Thomas, because I'm not positive whether you call microformats markup languages.
This is Thomas. Essentially leveraging HTML, XHTML, and providing a namespace and elements, or within the elements, being able to put attributes in there that then information can be scraped out of. So it's formalizing the structure of information so that it can be used and reused, and essentially using a web page as your API rather than a data set.
Okay, so I think that fits most people's definitions, although they might not typically use markup language at the end of microformat.
Okay, well, we are, unless anyone else has any other questions, we are set up for the next perspective.